This is Pastor Emery with the third broadcast in a radio Bible study series demonstrating from the Bible and from history that the battle of Armageddon has already begun. Part of that great worldwide conflict was to be and is a massive invasion of the nations which profess Jesus Christ as their God by hordes of non-Christian aliens. They are coming by the millions into the United States, Canada, Western Europe, and England. Stay tuned.
It's time for America's Promise with Sheldon Emery of Phoenix, Arizona. Sit down with your Bible and listen as Pastor Emery preaches the Word of God, the good news of Christ's kingdom, and Bible truths about the United States of America as foretold in prophecy. This is God's promise to America, that the power and works of God will lead America to read, believe, and obey Christ's holy commands. We pray that these Bible teaching programs will be used of God to that end. On the broadcast, Pastor Emery will be offering literature, which you may request for your personal study. America's Promise Radio Bible Studies are sponsored by Lord's Covenant Church of Phoenix, Arizona. Won't you join us, please? And now, Pastor Sheldon Emery.
Thank you. Last week we read a few verses in Revelation 19 of the last great world war. In verse 19, John writes, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." The one who sat on the horse is described in verses 11 through 16, and we can see that this is a vision of Jesus Christ at the head of an army of believers who would all be under attack by the kings of the earth and their armies. Over the kings of the earth would be something called the beast. In previous broadcasts, we have shown that this beast is the same as the beast in Revelation 17 and 18, and it is the red beast of Antichrist, red communism. At this late date, it is only the foolish and willingly blind who do not see that red Bolshevism or red communism is making war against Jesus Christ and against his Christians. In chapter 16, John describes the gathering of those armies of the Antichrist, and in verse 14 he writes that the kings of the earth and the whole world are being gathered to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Then in verse 16, the name of that gathering place is given as Armageddon. Bible preachers for centuries have referred to these rather clear prophecies as teaching that this age will close in a worldwide conflict in which the forces of Jesus Christ and the Christians will be victorious over the enemies of Christ and the armies of the world. The red beast, or red communism, is at war with the armies clothed in white who follow Jesus. Or we might say, it is the battle between red Bolshevism and white Christianity. For those are the colors used to identify the protagonists in this last, the greatest of wars upon the earth. The battle is joined. It has been revealed in the Bible millenniums ago. It is now becoming visible to all upon the earth who do not hide their heads in the sand and refuse to see it. Last week I read a portion of a sermon preached in 1857 before a joint session of the United States Congress in which the minister expounded on these and other scriptures and stated the conclusion that that great war would be fought between the United States of America representing white Christianity and Russia representing red Bolshevism. That excerpt of his sermon is in my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America, which is in our free packet of literature for this month of April. If you have a pencil and paper, I will give my address and you can write and ask for your packet. Then we will go on with our Bible study. Write to me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Just ask for the April packet of literature. We will send it to you free and postpaid. In the packet are several other items, a 200-year-old sermon preached in colonial America, titled civil rulers are God's ministers. We'll send along our literature list, a catalog of over 100 Bible studies on cassette tapes, our radio log, and so on. But you should write and particularly read my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. My address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Ask for the April free packet of literature. I'll repeat that address later in the program. All right, let us continue with our story of Israel, where we left off last week. If you were with us then, you know that I gave a brief chronology of the history of the Israel people, beginning with their bondage in Egypt, through their sojourn in Canaan land, up to their being taken captive into Assyria and Babylon between 740 B.C. and 500 B.C. In 2 Kings 16, 17, and 18, we are told that the Assyrian king conquered the northern house of Israel and removed the Israelites out of Canaan land and put them in Halah and in Habor by the river Gozan and in the cities of the Medes. That is verse 6 of 2 Kings 17. That area is in modern Turkey, in Asia Minor, south of the Black and Caspian Seas. In verse 23 it says, "So, or in that manner, so was Israel carried away out of their own land." In verse 13 of 2 Kings 18, we read, "Now in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, did Sennacherib, king of Assyria, come up against all the fenced cities of Judah and took them." So, according to the Bible, at that point, about 715 B.C., all of Israel had been captured by the Assyrians except for the city of Jerusalem itself. I am repeating this from last week because it is absolutely vital that Christians know and understand these captivities and this dispersion of Israel at that time, or else they cannot understand who Israel is today or understand this last great battle I spoke of a few moments ago. In the end of the book of 2 Kings, and of course in the prophet Jeremiah, we find that about a century later, the king of Babylon came and conquered the city of Jerusalem and took the Judah kingdom captive to Babylon. In 2 Kings 24, verse 14, it says of them, "And none remained save the poorest sort of people of the land." So, by 500 B.C., 500 years before Christ, all but a very tiny remnant of the whole Israel people were gone from old Palestine. Now, before we discuss what happened to dispersed Israel, let us first use the Bible to estimate how many of them there might have been who were removed from Palestine 500 years before Christ. The biblical account of the Assyrian wars gives no figures, but turn with me to 2 Samuel 24, and we will read of a census of the Israel people that was taken under King David about five centuries before the Assyrian and Babylonian deportations. In 2 Samuel 24, in verse 9, we read that Joab gave up the sum of the number of the people under the king, and there were in Israel 800,000 valiant men that drew the sword, and the men of Judah were 500,000 men. Then in 1 Chronicles 11, David again ordered a census. This time Joab reported, according to verse 5, 1,100,000 men of Israel that drew the sword, and 470,000 out of Judah. But verse 6 tells us Joab did not include in that total any from the tribe of Levi or the tribe of Benjamin. In any case, these were only males, and only those of the age to draw the sword or to be in the army. Bible scholars are not all agreed on just what ages we would be reading about in this census, but in Exodus 34 we do find that the census counted only males beginning at age 20. Again, we don't know whether all males above that age were counted, Some scholars believe they were counted for war up through the age of 40. Others believe through the age of 60. But anyway, however this counting was done under David, we have a very plain Bible statement that 500 years before the dispersion of Israel into Assyria and Babylon, there were 1.5 million males in Israel over the minimum age for military service. Since that figure would not include any children under 20 and no women, we would have to estimate that there were a minimum of 10 million Israelites living in Canaan land under the rule of David. We know that there were only about 3 million Israelites under Moses, which means that the number of Israelites had at least tripled in the 5 years between Moses and David. If there were 10 million Israelites under David, and they again logically would triple in the 500 years between David and the end of the Babylonian captivity, then that would mean there might have been upwards of 30 millions of Israelites around the feast, almost all of them gone and somewhere in the dispersion. Let me repeat that figure. We can logically estimate that about 30 million Israelites were kicked out of Canaan land by 500 B.C. in the Assyrian and Babylonian dispersions. Now, in discussing these Assyrian and Babylonian captivities, most prophecy preachers today avoid any estimate of the numbers of people involved because most of them teach that all of Israel returned from Babylon to Jerusalem at the end of that 70 years of captivity, and that Israel was again in the land at the time that Jesus came. But that is not true, and the Bible itself proves it is impossible. For in both books of Ezra and Nehemiah, we have an exact figure given of the number of Israelites who returned to Canaan land, to Jerusalem, from Babylon. You will find those figures in Ezra 2 and Nehemiah 7. Turn there with me and read them. And I cannot emphasize this too much. Any Christian who wants to know what is happening in the earth today and who the Israel people really are should millions of people at the end of the Babylonian captivity. And here in Ezra and Nehemiah, we are told the number of them who returned to Jerusalem from those captivities. Read it with me. Ezra 2 and verse 64. The whole congregation together, 42,303. That is 42,360 people. And the next verse in Ezra 2 lists 7,337 servants. Those figures are repeated in Nehemiah 7, verses 66 and 67. So a total of 49,697 men, women, and children of Israel returned to Jerusalem out of the Babylonian captivity with Ezra and Nehemiah. And so, the logical question arises, what happened to the rest of the 30 million of Israelites who did not return to Jerusalem from the captivities? That is a question which is seldom asked and never answered by the modern church today. Oh yes, some do speak or write on it, if pressed, but they usually pass it off something like this. Oh, representatives of all the tribes came back to Jerusalem, and the others are scattered among the nations. We don't know who they are, and it doesn't matter. And then they go on to tell their flocks that a people called Jews today are descendants of those who were in Palestine at the time of Christ, and that they constitute all of Israel in the world today. But that does not answer the question. It only confuses it. For we are here talking of the disappearance 2,500 years ago of 30 million or more Israelites, more than twice as many as the total of all Jews in the world today. And these Israelites today would not only be a numerous people, but an important people. Paul said of them in Romans 9 and verse 4 and 5 that to the Israelites belonged the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom as concerning the flesh Christ came. Paul wrote in Romans 15 and verse 8, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Jesus himself said that he came not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and John the Baptist said that Jesus was to be made known to Israel. So you bear with me for a few moments, and I think I can show you from the Bible and history that dispersed and lost Israel must be found today outside of what we call Jewry. For the Jews neither came from dispersed Israel, nor do they exist in numbers sufficient to account for the many millions of Israelites who must be on the earth today. Once one begins to grasp the enormity of the Israelite dispersion 500 years before Christ, and realizes that those 30 million or more Israelites of 2,500 years ago must have hundreds of millions of descendants in the world today, one begins to grasp how foolish is the teaching that 15 millions of Jews can be all of Israel today. The very idea is preposterous and an affront to our common sense. So someone asked Pastor Emery, if the Israelites are not the Jews today, then who are the Israelites in the modern age? Well, let's use the information we already have, what we already know from the last few minutes of this broadcast, and what you know of world history, and I will state these bits of information plainly. Then we shall consider them and use the good sense that God gave us to see if we can arrive at the most logical answer. I'll number the pieces of information and give them. Number one, millions of Israelites were dispersed out of old Palestine between 700 B.C. and 500 B.C. by the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities. Number two, these were the people whom God had promised to multiply greatly according to the Abrahamic covenants and to whom a future Messiah was promised. Number three, both the Assyrian and Babylonian empires collapsed in the 200 to 300 years after they took these Israelites out of Palestine. That would mean they would have lost their control over the captive Israelites. Number four, from Ezra and Nehemiah, we know that less than 50,000 Israelites returned to Jerusalem from Babylon after these captivities. Number five, that would leave millions of Israelites still dispersed somewhere outside of Palestine centuries before Christ. Now add to that information the following. Number six, at the exact time in history that these millions of Israelites disappeared into dispersion, there began to appear in southern and eastern Europe great numbers of people called Sumerians, Scythians, the Kimri, Saxons, Celts or Celts, Teutons, Macedonians, Goths, and various other peoples. Historians trace their origin back to the area of the Caucasus Mountains, the Black and Caspian Seas, and Asia Minor, the exact place where Israel disappeared. And number seven, several hundred years later, Jesus Christ came, according to Bible prophecy, to Israel, died on the cross of Calvary, rose again from the dead, and his disciples and those who followed them carried that message of Christ to only one people on earth, those Sumerians, Scythians, Kimri, Saxons, Celts, Teutons, Macedonians, Goths, Visigoths, and so on. They did not go to the Negro in Africa. They did not go to the Dravidians of India. They did not go to the Mongolians in Asia. They did not go to the Isles of the Sea. They went only to the Caucasian race, the race which had overspread Europe from the homeland of Israel centuries before Christ died. Now, if you will consider for a few minutes those seven pieces of biblical and historical information, you will see why many thousands of us who are descendants of that race of Europe are tracing our ancestors and coming to the conclusion, which I did many years ago, that we are Israelites. We are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The great nations of Western and Northern Europe are Israelitish nations, and America is, America must be, the place of the regathering of those Israel people before the great battle of Armageddon at the end of this age. America is the fulfillment of God's promise to Joseph in Deuteronomy 33, which begins, "Blessed of the Lord be his land." You should read all of those verses. You will recognize America. America is the fulfillment of God's promise to David in 2 Samuel 7:10. "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more." America is the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel in Isaiah 35. "The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose." America is the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel in Jeremiah 3. "I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And in Jeremiah 31, "Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return hither. They shall come with weeping and with supplications." In other words, as Christian people, "they shall come with weeping and with supplications will I lead them." In verse 6, God identifies the place of their regathering as Zion. Those passages, and scores and hundreds more like them, give a description in the Bible of the dispersion, migration, and regathering of the Israel people that fits exactly with the origin and history of our Saxon European ancestors who came from Asia Minor and the Caucasus Mountains so long ago. And now here we are, gathered in Western and Northern Europe, in South Africa, in Australia, and in North America. And it is obvious to all but fools that the red beast empire of communism, the kings of the earth, are making war against this Saxon Israel people. They are not making war against the Jews. They are not making war against any other people, except as it moves them closer to their stated goal of destroying Christendom. And Christendom is Israel. Obviously, Satan and his Red Empire know it, whether the ministers in Israel know it or not. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. Next week, God willing, we will get into the New Testament, where I had hoped to get today, to prove to you that all of the New Testament is addressed to Israel and to Israel alone. As we read it, you will see that the so-called Gentiles are actually the descendants of the dispersed Israel people. They are continually addressed by Jesus Christ and by the writers of the epistles with words and phrases that fit only Israel. And once you see it, you will wonder why you had never seen it before. Meanwhile, write for that free packet of literature, and I should offer another book first, one which you can have for a gift of $3 to this radio ministry, one which will give you a very clear and detailed picture of the dispersion and migrations of our Israelite ancestors. Its title is Tracing Our Ancestors. With all the television and movie propaganda about the roots and origins of the non-whites, many of our own race are curious about their own origins. And here is a book which will tell you from whence we came, Tracing Our Ancestors. Many years ago, when I first heard this message that the Anglo-Saxons and kindred people were Israelites, someone gave me a copy of this book, Tracing Our Ancestors. It is one of the best and most fascinating books on history I have ever read. You'll find, once you begin to read it, you cannot put it down, and I have yet to hear of anyone who has read that book, but that they then admitted, yes, it is true, The Anglo-Saxon and kindred peoples of Europe sprang from dispersed Israel. It was first published in 1932 and has now been reprinted. Send a gift to this radio ministry of $3, and I will send you a copy of Tracing Our Ancestors. My address is America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. When you write, ask for the April Literature Packet. That is free and includes my book, The Bible Says Russia Will Invade America. In that book, I also trace our ancestry to some extent to show why the red beast of prophecy hates America. It is because we are Israel and we are Christ's sheep. I also give current information that shows the Russian military capabilities. Actually, they have enough power to effect an invasion and our destruction, except for one thing. We are God's covenant people, and God is a covenant-keeping God, and God will save us. You should read it. Also in the free April packet is the 200-year-old sermon, Civil Rulers Are God's Ministers, which we gave to the congressman in Washington, D.C., and a number of other things. The announcer will repeat my address again in just a moment. Remember, the April packet is free, but please send a gift to this ministry of $3 if you want the book, Tracing Our Ancestors. Until next week when I return, God willing, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. God bless you. Read your Bibles and pray for Christian Israel in America.
You have been listening to America's Promise. If you would like Pastor Emery to continue broadcasting on this station, please write to him at America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. America must hear God's Word preached in this hour of trial. When you write, please ask for the literature you would like. You will also receive a list of other literature available, a catalog of several hundred Bible sermons and radio broadcasts on tape, and the current log of radio stations where you or friends may hear America's Promise. Pastor Emery's address again, America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. That's America's Promise, Post Office Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010. Be with Pastor Emery next week at the same time. Tell your friends of the broadcast.